Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Lee Cantor here, another episode of Atlanta Business Radio, and this is a very special one. I got my original co-host from how far back in the day? 10, 12 years now?
Honestly, I think it's been 12 years ago.
Amy Otto is a voice that you haven't heard in a minute or two, but now you are. And we're doing a workplace diversity exclusive radio show with the associates from Jackson Healthcare, Amy. And who'd you bring with you today? You got quite the crowd.
I do. I have a big crowd of folks. The leaders from our associate networking groups at Jackson Healthcare. And Matthew is about ready to tell us a little bit more about it.
Sure. So we've got Matthew Harrison.
Yeah, Matthew Harrison is the man. And actually right now he is the man because he's surrounded by all these women. But Matthew Harrison is a wealth of knowledge and just feel so grateful that he's here to lead us in the associate networking group. So welcome, Matthew.
Thank you, Amy. I'll give you your $5 later.
Okay.
So does one of you want to tell us a little bit about the associate network group? What does that mean and what do you guys do?
Sure. I'll take that. So we started our associate network groups at Jackson Healthcare last fall, and they were really in response to some of the feedback we got on our annual engagement survey that we send to our associates on an annual basis. And so they talked about the need for us to have something for our associates that really highlighted the value and importance of diversity and inclusion. And so these groups were formed, and they're not foreign to organizations. Other companies may call them employee resource groups or business resource groups, but really what they're about is really highlighting the impact that diversity and inclusion can have for an organization and the value that it brings to an organization. Now, I will say, I think ours are a little bit different in that we structured them in a very organized fashion to make sure that they were a value add, not only for our associates, but also for the business. Because a lot of times these groups can be looked at as just social outlets for the members. And we wanted that to be the case, but we also wanted to make sure that they were also going to add value for the company and also value for those members. So we have our associate network groups really founded in our values as an organization. So our organizational values are growth, wisdom, and others first. And so all of the events, initiatives, and programming that our associate network groups do have to align back to those values. Again, making sure that they're that value add for the associates and for the business.
So Matthew Harrison, I have to brag on him a little bit. We really should be calling him Dr. Harrison because he does have a PhD in workplace diversity, which I think is really cool. Tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. So my background is I got my master's and PhD in industrial organizational psychology from the University of Georgia. While there, I did a lot of work in the area of workplace diversity, working under my major professor, Dr. Keisha Thomas. And so my master's thesis was actually on colorism, received a good bit of publicity, did a few radio interviews, was almost on the Oprah Winfrey Show, got a call from an executive producer. Have that call still recorded. Didn't quite get my 15 minutes of fame that I was expecting, but nonetheless, but it was really nice to get that exposure initially. And then I actually did my dissertation on affirmative action stigma. So looking at women and people of color in the workplace and how sometimes people assume they're in roles because of not really understanding what affirmative action is. And sometimes those individuals feeling the need to overwork in order to prove their placement in roles, particularly at management levels. And so workplace diversity has always been something that has been kind of at the heart of everything that I do. So in my roles in human resources the past 10 plus years, though diversity and inclusion maybe hasn't always been the sole focus, it's always found a way into the work that I do because I think it's just a core part of what we do in organizations, or at least should be.
Now, when prior to having these associate network groups, was there any other kind of ad hoc groups that were just forming kind of organically within the organization?
To an extent. So we do have this vehicle that we use at Jackson Healthcare called Workplace. And so it's kind of Facebook for working organizations, if you will. And so there's like a dogs group on there. There's a group for folks who...
A dogs group.
Love their dogs.
They're like, hey, let's put a dogs group together.
Hey, don't say anything about it because I may or may not be one of the big contributing members of the dog group.
I'm just trying to get clarity here.
You'll be really happy to know there's a cooks group. Yeah. Mm-hmm. People that love to cook.
The foodie group.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, it's a number of groups on workplace that really highlight I think kind of just interest and hobbies that our associates have. I will say though that I think the associate network groups are a little bit different in that they are a little bit more formalized in the programming and initiatives that they offer to the organization. They each do have a workplace page, but they're different in that they offer leadership opportunities for associates to be involved as chapter leads, as you'll hear from our chapter leads that are here today. And it also provides things that are around like speed networking, community events where folks can go out and volunteer into the community. So they're slightly different from those workplace groups.
And then just to give our listeners an idea of the scope of Jackson Healthcare, isn't they have several different kind of business groups that are their own businesses in essence, right?
Correct.
So they're all under the umbrella. And this gives the chance for the different, I guess, leads or different members of each of those kind of mini companies to get together or to share best practices.
Yes, precisely. And that is actually another reason why we really wanted to form these associate network groups, because Jackson Healthcare is the parent company of 17 other companies kind of under that umbrella.
Right.
And so these associate network groups do give those associates the opportunity to interact with and engage with folks that they oftentimes may not have the chance to do so with.
Right. And there would be, and if they didn't, then they could be kind of siloed and miss out on opportunities. Maybe there's high potentials in one group that may want to jump to another group. And this gives them a chance to learn about that, you know, from the horse's mouth, not kind of the grapevine, right?
Yep, absolutely. And yeah, so it's a great opportunity, I think, also for our associates to see what's available to them. Because I mean, it's odd that we have 17 companies, but to your point, I think a lot of times we can be a little siloed. Associates come in, do their job, they know the company that they work for, and don't necessarily know that there's someone else in another job potentially similar to theirs, or that there's job opportunities that they may could look at coming to the same campus. And so we really are also looking at this as an opportunity to retain some of our top talent so that they can look at other opportunities still under Jackson Healthcare, but maybe with another organization.
Now, when you implemented this, was your, what's your vision where at the end of the year, when you look back at some of the results that have occurred, where you're high-fiving and you're going, man, that is exactly the way that I dreamed this could be?
That's a great question. I would say one, just the initial involvement we got from associates when these launched. So we have an associate base of about 1,500 associates. And to date, I would say like our women's network has nearly 500 members. Our people of color network has about 250. Our young professionals network, Pride network, and Innovate network are all newly launched, and they each all have over 100. So, I mean, we have immediate receptivity into these groups, which has been more so than I've seen in any prior organization I've worked. I've always said, though, that I would see true success in these groups being when they have as many members that are not of the demographic that the groups represent as members or part of the leadership team as folks that are of that demographic. So by that, I mean, our groups are certainly focused on diversity, but it is equally as focused on inclusion. And so like our women's network, we have executive champions for all of the associate network groups, and we purposely have one executive champion for each of them that is not of the demographic of the group. And that is really to hone in on that inclusivity piece.
And that's by design.
Exactly. It's purposeful. And so we want our associates to know and understand that you don't have to be a woman to be in the women's network. You don't have to be a person of color to be in the people of color network, because ultimately the workplace is the one place where we come and engage and interact with people who are different from ourselves. And we really want to use that as an opportunity for people to expand their horizons, expand their perspectives, and not be necessarily so myopic in a lot of the things that we may kind of hold as being our own personal values. Because a lot of times when we go home and we're in our social networks, those groups tend to be pretty homogenous. And so people in those groups are going to probably have similar beliefs as ourselves when it comes to politics, religion. And so when we're in the workplace, being able to hear perspectives that are different from our own, and we're not saying that you necessarily have to agree with them, but at least being open to it and understanding that there are perspectives that aren't exactly aligned to your own or not those that maybe your closest friends may have, but at least just being open to that. And I think especially with the associate network groups, what we're really trying to hone in on is that experiences for people in the workplace do differ on these demographics. So if you're a woman in the workplace, if you're a person of color, if you're of the LGBT plus community, if you're younger in your career, coming into the workplace is not going to necessarily be the same as it is for someone else. And so we want to be able to allow those individuals to have a group of folks that they can kind of feel a sense of community with, but at the same time, educate our fellow associates who may not be of that demographic to better understand what it's like being of that demographic in the workplace.
So we just celebrated the 1-year anniversary for the People of Color and the Women's Network. And when it was brought up on Workplace that they were starting these associate networking groups, and I saw that one was a women's networking group, I said, I've got to be a part of that, especially when I found out that Matthew was behind it. I definitely want to be part of that. So I'm a co-lead with Savannah Rakestraw, and Savannah is here this morning, and I'd love for you to tell us a little bit about what really inspired you to take on this leadership role.
Yeah, for me, I wanted to kind of go above and beyond my current job duties. Right now, I'm kind of at the highest level I can go as a producer, and to be able to have an opportunity to hone in on some leadership skills was kind of where my mindset was. Having been on the leadership team for a year now, it has become so much more than that. And to be able to really just engage with people that I normally would not have conversations with throughout the JH campus has been very just amazing, and learning more about people every day.
And you've learned a lot, I'm sure. You've been there how long?
13 and a half years.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Some big changes.
A lot of changes.
So when you started, how many folks worked at Jackson Healthcare?
I would have to say probably 200.
So 200 associates, like 1,500 associates.
Yes.
Did you ever think 13 years ago that there would be a women's network or a people of color network?
Never crossed my mind at all. I know we used to call those days the Mansell days when our office was on Mansell Road. And to just see where we are now is incredible. And I am so thankful to be a part of such a wonderful company.
Excellent. And Nicole Ruffin, you're part of the People of Color Network and the Women's Network as a leadership role. Tell us a little bit about your leadership role with both of them.
Thanks so much, Amy. So I've been with Jackson Healthcare almost 2 years. And so when they launched these groups, I was very excited. My background is in human resources, and I'm always looking at ways to improve company cultures and drive efficiency and engagement. But I also have a philanthropic side that I really enjoy. And so my involvement with the People of Color Network, I'm one of the chapter leads, and I really wanted to just find a way to bring additional leadership and some of the skills that I had gained with my work life experience in other companies, and just see how I could help facilitate that and help to drive inclusion in the areas of community involvement and professional development and social. And then I also wanted a way to meet other people in other companies at Jackson Healthcare. So, and then on the Women's Network, I serve as the professional development lead, and that is a real passion of mine. I've been very blessed throughout my career to have really strong both male and female mentors, and I believe in empowerment. And I work a lot with and have worked a lot with a lot of women or female-centric or young female-centric organizations, nonprofit organizations, and I just found a way that to be a way that I could serve and give back, but also make an impact, hopefully.
And talk a little bit about the People of Color event that you had where, and I've already forgotten her name. That
Dr. Zenona Clayton.
Yes, she was so incredible. But tell us a little bit about that, just so our listeners can hear.
So that was actually it was a last minute event that we weren't sure we were going to be able to pull off. She actually is good friends with one of our payroll directors at Jackson Healthcare, and we were celebrating Black History Month. And so one of the things we do with the People of Color Network is we have a diversity calendar, and we like to highlight different ethnic groups. And so we were in February celebrating Black History Month. We had already planned out the month. And one of our payroll directors came to us and said, well, you know, I'm friends with, and that's how it kind of started. And if you've ever seen Dr. Zenona Clayton or know her history and background, she was on the forefront during the civil rights movement with Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and some of the other civil rights leaders. So she had a phenomenal story to tell in that regard. But then additionally, she is a phenomenal woman in business and media and just a lot of experience there. And so we invited her in and it became more of a conversation. And she talked about her experiences during the civil rights movement and then brought it up today and kind of left us all with just words of wisdom and just thinking about life in itself and how we interact with others that may not be of the same background or socioeconomic status or race and all of that. So it was a phenomenal event.
She was so funny.
She was. She's hilarious. Goodness. And she was celebrating, what was her coming up? I think it was, she was going to be she wasn't going to be turning 90, was she?
As a man, I'm not going to comment on that.
Maybe I should stay away from that too. But you would not believe her age.
Yeah.
And she was talking about how her family and friends were going to do a big birthday celebration for her. But she was hilarious.
Gosh.
And it was all impromptu.
Wow.
It was all impromptu. So it was really good.
So, Matthew, there's a large percentage of millennials at Jackson Healthcare. So maybe talk a little bit about that. And we would love to talk about the Associate Networking Group for Young Professionals.
Sure. So, yeah, our percentage of millennials at Jackson Healthcare is actually around 70%.
Wow.
And so, I mean, obviously there is a large number. I'm sorry. That is 70% is actually our percentage of women. Our percentage of millennials is actually around 55 to 60%. So, again, more than the average. And so we definitely wanted to bring something to campus and to our associates that would highlight some of the things that younger workers are forcing as they're entering the workforce. And so I knew when we started the Associate Network Groups that a young professional network was definitely going to be one of the ones we would want to really kick off for our associates.
Excellent. So let's introduce Andrea. Andrea Paradiso, she is one of the co-leads of the Young Professional Network. Welcome.
Thank you, Amy.
I'd love to hear a little bit about the network and maybe a memorable story or an event that's happened.
Sure. So actually, I was really excited to join the network. This was a huge step out of my comfort zone for me. It was important to find networking opportunities. Being new to the corporate world, I'd come from restaurants and being a preschool teacher. So this was a whole new setting for me working in an office. I found that the Fortune 100, we were actually named Best Workplaces for Millennials, number 64 on the list. So pretty good. For younger associates that recently graduated, like you said, 50-some percent, the ANGs really provided opportunities for us to feel like we fit in somewhere outside of our team or our department, get involved. Like in college, there's all the clubs, groups, Greek life that you can join. And I really liked finding the associate network groups to join in that.
Great. And what's your membership at now?
I want to say we're pretty close to like 150 on the workplace group.
Wow. Yeah, that's great. That's great. When you think about it, there's a lot of people that are involved in all of the associate network groups, and it just really gives everybody a good flavor for that particular demographic and also to be able to meet people at other companies. Have you met a lot of people from the other companies?
Yes, actually, I am the only person on the leadership team from Locum Tenens. Everyone else is from a different company, and that's been really cool to get connected with them and do some personal networking.
Yeah, I bet. So Matthew, when you're sitting around trying to think of these new associate networking groups, I'm sure that's what you do in your spare time. Actually, that's probably what you've studied for many, many years in diversity. Tell us about how you rolled them out, maybe two at a time, and maybe what's on the horizon.
Sure. So when we first started them, I wanted to do two because I didn't want us to get over-indated in focusing on the quantity versus the quality. And so I did the first two being the Women's Network and the People of Color Network, because I think generally, you know, race and gender are the two most commonly talked about demographics when it comes to diversity and inclusion. And so to me, it just made sense to start with those two. And then when we got the massive amount of folks showing interest in being in those groups and attending the events and taking part in the initiatives, we knew we wanted to do more. And so that's when we thought about doing the Pride Network, the Young Professional Network, and then the Innovate Network. People always kind of look at like, that one's kind of interesting. Like, what demographic does that actually serve? And so our point with that one is really to look at the value and importance of looking at difference in thought when it comes to work. You know, one of our big things as a company, Ajax and Healthcare, is the importance of culture. And we really, you know, talk about making sure folks come in and our culture fits. And so I don't want our associates to misunderstand that when we're saying people need to be a fit, we're not saying that people need to be exactly like them. Cause I think sometimes those things can be kind of misconstrued. And so we do want to illustrate that we have a lot of value that we see in people who bring a different type of personality and perspective to the work that they do. And we really want our Innovate Network to highlight that. You know, we want people who approach work in different ways. And we also really want to use the Innovate Network as a way for us to look at how our organization and the 17 companies under it can look at doing work in new and different ways, because the status quo isn't going to always work. And we want to always kind of be on the, you know, cutting edge of doing work differently. And so in terms of ones that are kind of on the horizon, we are looking to potentially launch a veterans network, maybe spring or summer of next year. And then potentially a My Abilities one. So one that really kind of looks at folks who may have handicaps, either physical, mental, or anything like that. Cause I think, again, we want these groups to be value add for our associates. And it could be not necessarily that we have associates that are disabled, but they may have children who are, and these groups may be a nice outlet for them to have a better understanding of how to cope with a child, how to get them through elementary, middle, and high school. And so that may also be one that might be on the horizon.
Excellent. Excellent. So we have some folks here from the Pride Network. Hello, Laura. Hello. So Laura Hitch from the Pride Network.
Grab that microphone, Laura. Bring that to you.
Sorry. Out of practice.
You've been at Jackson Healthcare a long time too, right?
Yes. I celebrated 10 years in April.
Wow. That's exciting. So when a Pride Network was brought up, what made you want to get involved?
I was excited when this network was created, and I think it's a great progressive step forward for Jackson Healthcare to show that we have a group of people who care and support and celebrate you for who you are, no matter who you love or who you may or may not love, and all these other and everything in between. And it's just a great, comfortable and safe place to meet new people and just to be surrounded by support and love. And it's fun. I mean, Pride just ended a couple weekends ago, and it's just rainbows. I have so much stuff in my house. There's glitter everywhere. Still, the dog was covered in glitter. Goodness gracious. But it's just a great safe place to be. And I was excited to see us create such a group.
Excellent. And Angie Humphreys, you're part of the Pride Network too. Tell us about your experience so far.
So I have to admit that when I took a little encouragement for me to join, because as somebody that's not part of the LGBT community, I was kind of worried how I might be received as a lead on this network. But I see now the importance of having advocates and allies for this group and really educating people about this group. But I've always been inspired to be supportive because I still have a good girlfriend that I grew up with that struggled with coming out, and she eventually did in college. And, you know, she still has a strained relationship with her family to this day. So I've just always been a big advocate for love is love, and to watch what she goes through just to be able to be herself. Like, if there's anything that I can do in this world to make it better for her and other people in the gay community, I want to be able to do that.
Excellent. That's great. Nicole, tell us about any experience that really stands out in your mind, like a highlight from either of the associate network groups that you've been part of. Anything in particular?
Wow. A lot of events, actually. So one event I will say that touched my heart was last year during Christmas time. Jackson Healthcare brings in foster children. And we have a very nice, we have Santa Claus, Mrs. Claus, and we go all out and we bring them in, and we also have gifts for them. But then we also have, it's a day full of activities. So there's everything from making and decorating cookies to story time and other crafts, and they get their picture taken and all that. So I will say that was actually one of my highlights, because we had launched the ANGs, I think, in October last year. And so that was kind of like after our membership drive, that was kind of like the first like real full-fledged event. And just to see the amount of participation, we had a lot of associates volunteer to help kind of man some of those stations. But just to see the delight on the children's faces and to be a part of it, that was very memorable for me very early on. You know, obviously the Dr. Zenona Clayton, having her come in was a really great opportunity. We also did a financial empowerment workshop with the People of Color Network. We had members of Fifth Third Bank come in. And that's another piece that I feel is a very important topic within, especially within people of color, that particular demographic, and just having financial awareness, financial literacy and education and all of that. And then I would say on the women's network, we've had just a lot of just wonderful events, from making baskets for a women's shelter that focused on women that had been in either domestic situations or trafficking situations, trying to help them get back on their feet. And then also things like doing things for children. We have a lot of events that are coming up around the holidays, about around giving back. But then we've also had some dynamic speakers come in from a professional development experience. So remember the Love Your Brand.
This is crazy. So I just had deja vu. I met Joyce Bone in the studio.
Really?
Joyce Bone.
She was another original. Right.
Yeah, Joyce Bone was a guest, and
she was a speaker there.
Yeah, she came and spoke to us about Love Your Brand.
Yeah,
she did a great job.
Yeah, she's a great
speaker. She did an awesome job. So, and her background is just phenomenal. Yeah. And we've had leadership panels where we've invited women in leadership across the different Jackson Healthcare companies to come in and talk to our group. But I will say what's been really phenomenal to see and most memorable, regardless of the A and the associate network groups and the events, is that there is inclusion. So to see the amount of faces that are not people of color participating in the People of Color event, Matthew can probably speak a little bit more about something that we've been doing recently with Jackson Healthcare, and it's a conversation on race. But just things like that, and seeing how many people want to be involved and supportive. Same thing with the Women's Network, the amount of male participants that we have is phenomenal as well. So those have been some very memorable experiences for me.
We have a couple of events coming up. We're going to do an annual Friendsgiving. We did it last year and it was a big hit. And then we have Galentine's Day.
Yes.
So we have some fun things, and then some networking, and then it's also mixed with some educational components and professional development. It's a lot of fun. I do want to wrap up with you telling us a little bit, Matthew, about the new program that we've got going on at Jackson Healthcare around race. But before we do that, how about any highlights of why you love to work at Jackson Healthcare? I can honestly say it is the most special place on the planet when it comes to being able to go there every day for work. The associates are always smiling and laughing. Everybody's happy. It's just, when I was there for like the first month, I kept telling people, like, I'm waiting for someone to pull the curtain back and say, ha, fooled you. Not real. Because it is just such a special place to work. So, Laura, how about you? Because you've been around about a decade. What's your favorite part about Jackson Healthcare?
My friend Angie and I were laughing about this the other day. I'm honestly going to say it's the gym.
Oh, and she's there all the time.
I'm there all the time, but it's a great way for me to meet other people. I've met more people from other companies through the gym than just wandering the building or getting lunch. And so we were laughing about it, and I said that will be my answer. So there's my answer. It's the gym.
Laura, actually, I was at the company probably 6 months before I realized you didn't work at the gym.
Yeah.
I thought you did, because every time I went, man, you inspire me.
It's much more comfortable clothing.
Savannah, how about you? You've seen a lot of change in 13 years, and I mean, what does it mean to you to be part of the Jackson Healthcare community?
Yeah. If we're going to be somewhere where we are away from our family for as long as we are, Why not have a campus where we have everything the associate needs, you know, place to eat, place to fellowship, basically a place to network. We even have a daycare now. So, it's just, it's unlike any other position I've ever, or company I've ever been with. And I know I used to always tell my old boss, you will have to fire me before I leave, JH. So I really think that what we have going is such a special thing, like you said.
Absolutely. So Matthew, we have a program going on right now that was inspired by Rick Jackson. Talk a little bit about it.
Sure. So we started back in September a program called Conversations, an informational session on race. And so this was inspired by our CEO, Rick Jackson. He met a gentleman by the name of Lee Jenkins. Lee Jenkins is actually a pastor for Eagle's Nest, which is in Alpharetta. And Lee and Rick met through Lee being an investment banker. But Lee had begun doing some of these race conversations with black and white churches in the kind of Alpharetta, Roswell area. And there was a huge write-up on it in the AJC. And so Rick reached out to Lee and asked Lee to come and speak to this men's group that Rick is a part of. And Lee came and kind of spoke to them about some of the things around race and race relations that they may not have been familiar with as white men. And it was so informative and so impactful for Rick that he talked to me about it and said, you know, I think this is something that would be great for us to bring to our associates, because I think, you know, with a lot of the things that we're seeing in the media, it's not like race isn't an issue. It's not like our associates aren't seeing these things. Why not use this as an opportunity for our associates to come together and be able to talk about it? And so, I mean, I will say I was shocked when he talked to me about doing this, because this is not something that many companies would do, especially a private company that doesn't certainly have any, certainly doesn't have to. A lot of times you'll see public companies doing this because they need to for shareholders and things like that. But for a private company, I mean, he truly wanted to do this because he feels like it emulates our value, especially around others first. And so we did an announcement on Workplace offering this and opening it up to 80 associates. It filled within 3 days, and we have about 30 associates on a wait list. So I think it's a pretty good chance that we'll offer it again in 2020. But basically it's broken down into 6 sessions where associates are coming in every week. And I will say of the 80 associates that are now involved, we have our president of our company, Shane Jackson, is participating. A number of other VPs, SVPs, EVPs, and presidents of those 17 other companies that are also involved. And so it's amazing to see such a vast showing of leadership that are participating in this and being involved in, I think, really being open to hearing perspectives around race and race relations, again, that they may not hear except in the workplace. And so I think it's been incredibly eye-opening for all of our associates and allowing them to kind of, again, get that perspective that they may not otherwise get.
Amazing.
Now, before we wrap, I'd like to ask you a question for some, maybe share some advice for organizations that are thinking about implementing one of these associate networking groups at their company. Do you have any kind of do's and don'ts, things that they should definitely do or things that they should definitely not do?
Yeah. So I would say, one, I would strongly encourage them to focus on that quality versus the quantity. So don't feel the need to, you know, start these groups and have one that's representative of every demographic on the front end. You know, it's okay to focus on one or two initially. And with that, I also would strongly encourage them to focus on that inclusion piece as well. Cause I think one of the worst things they could do is to create these groups and they be exclusionary in terms of only being for members that are of that demographic. Cause I think that goes against the entire point of diversity and inclusion, right? And will end up actually doing a lot more harm than good. And then lastly, I would, again, encourage them to really make the groups not just social groups. While it's important, because I would say our Pride Network has really great happy hours, but those happy hours are usually, you know, to plan for events that will be coming in the future. So it's really making sure that the events are going to be a value add for the associates. So have things in there that are around community involvement and professional development, things around just things that will be a value add back for the business. And so, because I think if the groups are ever really looked at as just social outlets, a lot of times being a member of it won't necessarily be valued, because people won't really see what value would you get as being a member of the group.
And then how important is it to get, you know, kind of leadership involved and really role model the behavior that they want the associates to kind of
Yeah, so I would say that, yeah, that's definitely key as well. So for each of our groups, we have two executive champions for each of the chapters. And like I had said earlier, we have one that is definitely not of the demographic to, again, kind of really hone in on that inclusion piece. But we really have the executive champions there, not to lead the group, but really to just kind of share insight on things that may be going on in the company, where the associate network groups can kind of serve as immediate focus groups. But to kind of just be that advisor and to share with their networks different events that the groups are having to hopefully increase the amount of members of senior leadership that would be involved. And so kind of to your point, I do think it's important that the groups not be led by the executives, because I think the more that it can really kind of be kind of this groundswell of associate involvement, the better, because it's not like our executives are telling any of the groups that you need to be doing this, but it really is fully led by the associates, which I think is a big reason why we have such a high level of involvement, because it's led and run by the associates. They know what is going to be meaningful and impactful. And I think that our associates are responding to that in kind.
And the culture must be such that this just kind of organically happens and everybody is, they really have a high level of engagement because they believe that this is good for everybody, good for the associates, good for the company, good for the community.
Yeah, I mean, I will say the culture at Jackson Healthcare, like people have said, is really like none other that I've seen anywhere that I've worked. You know, one of our core values is others first. And I really think pretty much everybody there truly believes in that. I have never worked anywhere where I have seen such a big impact and such a authentic level of involvement in these groups. I mean, I think people aren't joining them because they feel like it would look nice on a resume should they want to go to another company. I think they're really joining them because they believe in the mission and they see how they tie back to the collective and making Jackson Healthcare a great place to work for everybody.
Well, thank you, Amy, for putting this together. Matthew, if somebody wanted to learn more about Jackson, website, coordinates, what's the best way?
Sure. So they can learn more about Jackson Healthcare at www.jacksonhealthcare.com.
And then for associates that want to get involved with any of the groups, what's the way they do that?
So our associates can look on Workplace. So all of the associate network groups are there on Workplace. So they can type in any of the associate network chapter names and they would find them there. And then they can just click a thing to join as a member. And they'll be put into the groups.
Good stuff. Well, thank you all for sharing your story today.
Yeah,
thank you, Amy.
Thanks. Thank you. Can you see why I love it so much now, Lee?
I know.
I get to work just, with these all incredible people.
It's amazing the environment that's there, the culture that's there. It's a really great for the community, great for Atlanta, and great for the folks here.
Yeah, it's very special. Well, thank you so much for listening. And this is Amy Otto and Lee Cantor. Have a wonderful day.